miles ago before I
said.
All right, thank you.
And Esther, if I may, something that you cannot miss in this report, may I?
Wait a minute. Wait a moment. Jerry, hold on. I've got another hand up first. Ron, go ahead.
Okay.
You know, let me just say this. There are concerns about how that position has been handled, in recent weeks. Programmers complaining about not receiving proper notice or notification about, changes, you know, in their shows and things like that. And the attitude by which those that information was shared with those programmers. I'm not going to go into specifics, but you know, I the station has existed for 46 years. You know, many of these programmers, you know, deserve the kind of respect that you're asking for. You know, we didn't survive 46 years, because of nothing. There's been a lot of contributions from a lot of different people in a lot of different arenas. That said, you know, when you sent me a notice regarding, the preemption of, a community watch and comment for Friday, returned your email by asking, what is going to be aired in place of that? Now, I'm familiar with the Paul Robeson series that we're doing, but I'm not familiar with the specificity of it. I couldn't promote the show for next week, for this Friday, because I did not receive a response from you. The question was simple. You know, what's going to be aired in place of community comment that Friday, and what other shows are being preempted?
Question, Ron, if I may.
No, let me finish. I did not receive a response, you know, regarding that. So it just raises, you know, flags about, well, why didn't I get a simple courtesy response? And what about the other programmers? Because I don't know how you've responded to them with their inquiries as well.
I don't know what the specific question is, but I'm going to leave it at that.
My specific question is that as an interim position that you're in, is there a reason why I did not get a response? And once again, I'd also like to know what other shows were being preempted for the Paul Robeson specials. I certainly don't object to the specials. I just want to know that information.
Can I answer this question? Okay. So, Ron,
and then we're going
to
move on.
Yeah. You're not the only person I sent an email to, which was a very respectful email to everyone just saying that we're doing the special. And before that email, I had sent out an email to everyone saying that we're doing this special. It's going to be throughout the week. I'm not trying to just preempt like a whole block or whole day of programming. I wanted to see who wanted to participate. And so I asked everyone to participate who wanted to participate. The people who responded to me, I put them down, and I really actually tried to preempt shows that were near the other shows so that I would have decent like time periods to present the material, right? Since I knew that you would be on after me and I knew I would participate, that's why I took the community watch and comment slot. Now, in terms of responding to you, I believe that when in explaining that this was a Paul Robeson special, I thought that was explanation enough. We did not have everything mapped out in terms of what would be in every hour at that point. And I still, you know, even to this day, we're filling in things as it goes along, because we've had some people, for example, David Wetzel at the last minute said, oh, I'm not going to be able to do my show. So we filled in stuff for there.
Okay, and hold on. All right.
That's how the shows were selected. It wasn't, it was to build nice sizable blocks to present the material each day.
Okay. Thank you for the response. Now, some of this is in-house information. This is not necessarily board business. So let's try to keep focused. I've got, Jerry, do you have something you want to say? I've got Kamau, I've got Minerva, I've got Eric, and we've got a budget to deal with. So let's keep it moving. Jerry, 30 seconds.
I will be brief. The thing that we cannot miss is the one task that we have put to bed. We have been working on this for years. It's been about 5 years that we have been out of compliance with the FCC on the simple quarterly issues report that Esther has finally submitted.
Yeah, you said that was done, right?
Hey, what's that got to do with my question?
We're done with that. I'm just saying
it's historic. You know, we've been trying to put this to bed for years.
And you said that was done, right, Jerry?
That's it. Yeah, I just want to acknowledge it.
You already said that. Yeah, that was part of your report. We made that point. And thank you. I'm glad we got that done. Thank you, Esther. Good work. I'm really glad about that. Come on.
Yep.
Esther, evening. Thank you for that report. I have one question. Do you and the general manager discuss the finances of the station?
Haley?
I don't know. I mean, not in detail. We have meetings with everyone where the finances come up, and also, you know, Annette is the main person handling the accounting, and she speaks to us, you know, and gives us updates, and also she's the main communicator with Markeisha, who is the overall business manager for Pacifica.
So you would counter Jerry's comment just now when he says daily. That would be incorrect.
I am not really sure what you're talking about. I don't want to walk into one of these rhetorical traps or whatever's happening.
It's not a trap. I asked you a question and Jerry responded for you and said daily. You're saying something different.
Because of the financial situation at the station, we do communicate about it pretty often. I don't want to say whether it's daily or every other day, but it comes up because we all care, and everything that I do in terms of even the Paul Robeson special, preparing packages that people can donate for online, on the website, you know, having this special program coming up, all that's like dealing with the fund, you know, like trying to raise funds other than the fund drive. So, you know.
I think that's a very important aspect of your position as program director or as the interim program director, which is why I'm asking. I think an uninformed program director about the finances is detrimental to the station. So I just wanted to get an understanding of your relationship with the general manager with regards to finances. That's all. But I appreciate the answer.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's in the foremost. In the forefront of my mind, for sure.
Okay. Thank you. Minerva, then Eric.
Okay. Thank you, Dennis. I say some of the things I'm hearing here tonight, as I put in the chat, this is whatever's taking place, that's a programming concern. That's a completely different meeting. And I've become very concerned that we continue to use the LSB for people to be able to turn around and go at each other or bring up issues that the LSB has no input in. And Dennis, I'm going to also say that the statement that you read from the PD, I think that we should have stopped with the statement of her saying that she was out because of medical issues. Not gone any further. Start putting in the piece about whatever it was, harassment or whatever she said, that then begins to have everyone say, well, what in the heck is going on? And that things that I feel this board needs to be involved in. So I'm just sharing that and asking to think about when we have these meetings, look at the time. It's almost 9 o'clock. And we're still dealing with stuff that has to do with understands. So I'm asking people, take your concerns like you have private meetings. If you need mediators, then let's get them for you. But stop using the LSB meeting for this kind of stuff.
Well said, Minerva. I appreciate that. Thank you. Eric, I thought I saw your hand earlier. Was that correct? Or was that correct?
No, Mr. Chair, I'm fine. Okay. We can move along. Thank you.
Okay. Vanessa, last word, then we're moving into the next segment. Please make it clear.
Okay. So, just to respond to Minerva's comment about programming issues only being aired in the programming committee to the programming committee, I disagree. Okay. Anybody has a right to also raise any concerns that they want to this body, and they can also take it to the programming committee, which can then, if they see fit, also bring it to this body. But we are not precluded from raising programming issues, good or bad, in this meeting.
Okay, point made. All right, I am now turning the page to the Shamal Harris Hour. We have a Finance Committee report and we have a Relocation Committee report to deal with. Mr. Kamau, you have the floor.
All right, thank you, Dennis. I'll start with finances. The information on the report on our last meeting was sent out. I think everyone should have it at this point. If not, I'll read through it. The Finance Committee met on the 10th of April. The committee members are myself, Julie Hewitt, Lou Wolf, Sabu Hakim, Tony Leon, Eileen Rawson, and our newest member who's decided to attend is Kathleen Malloy. We met at 7 p.m. via Zoom. We had a call to order, a roll call of members, review of the March financial information, review of the February draft financial statements, a review of the FY23 draft budget, and then we adjourned. Information provided by the station management. Station management reported that the ending cash balance as of 3/31/2023 was $58,483.62. The ending balance as of 3/31/2023 in the Truist bank account was $58,483.62. As of that day, they also reported as of that day. So there's an ending balance of the month. The day, April 10th, the Truist bank account was at $20,104.89. That was primarily due to the fact that payroll for April 15th was submitted. So you see a pretty substantial drop between the 31st and our day of the meeting, which was April 10th. Also, there's a United Bank checking account, of which on April 10th, had $10,267.32. I'll pause there. Any questions on the balances? Okay. Also reported from station management, there was outstanding payables as of March 31st of $106,969, of which $11,320 was due for an HVAC service from July 2022. We had central services due of $6,123. That's for the months of January, February, and March. We had the central services for the national office at $75,840, representing October, November, December, January, and February. There is a Nielsen data service suspension due, $6,960, and a BMI music from January, $6,726. Again, that total $106,969. Brief minutes from the meeting. We had identified the cash on hand. Question was raised about what the United Bank account is used for. Our general manager indicated that it is a safety account to capture third-party application transactions, which are more susceptible to hacking, such as Cash App and PayPal. Our general manager also indicated that the income during March is mostly a delayed receipts from the previous pledge drive. That was an answer to a question of how was the income in March derived. We reviewed the FY23 budget. Dennis, you want me to go into this now, or is that a whole separate?
Yeah, please.
Peace to be. Okay. So we did review the FY23 budget. As everybody knows, we are currently in FY23, which runs from October 1, 2022 to September 30, 2023. Right now, the discussion we had was around the revenue. The initial comment from our general manager on the revenue was that the increase in revenue of $175,000 was initially due to the fact that he was trying to cover some of the moving expenses related to the relocation. There was also a piece on the expense side covering the same amount, or roughly the same amount, $150,000, not $175,000, indicating the cost of the move. During our discussions about that, the general manager did decide that $50,000 was the proper amount. Both amounts, revenue and expense, were lowered to that $50,000. There was a discussion in and around the strategy around raising money off air. The general manager at the time did not have a realistic or specific strategy around raising off air funds, except for a potential gala being discussed and more to come, I guess, on that. There was a discussion around the consultant costs on the budget. The general manager indicated that other signal sites have a much larger use of consultants, and that the consultant costs is a bridge or an onboarding for individuals who are going to be employed at a later date. There was discussion around the cost and the increase in the budget around personnel. The general manager indicated that the personnel cost was related to filling the unfilled positions outstanding right now with his staff. The further discussion around consultants, that the long-term ones, I think we all know the long-term consultants, have been offered positions to be permanent staff, and both of those individuals have declined. So that will stay, I guess, currently as a consultant cost in the budget going forward. We did pivot off of the budget to some local matters. There was a question about whether or not we're currently using Great Plains and whether or not the admin assistant is using Great Plains. And apparently that is not the case at the moment. And there was a crash to the computer in the office that is also delaying some of the progress of training. We did pass a motion. The committee passed a motion that the WPFW Finance Committee approves the FY23 budget with the provision that the general manager is to make updates to the revenue and expenses associated with the relocation of the station. Finally, we did request some information to receive from the general manager tonight. A detail of the Truist Bank transactions for the month of March. I believe the GM has indicated that Truist has online banking system is down, I believe he said. We also were asking for a calculation of the payments made to the engineer and how that offsets with the central services payments. And lastly, we wanted a detail of the approximately $50,000 in expense associated with the relocation of the station. That concludes the report for the Finance Committee. Are there any questions with regards to that?
Okay, hold on. You have a motion, which coming from a committee doesn't need to be seconded. I want to go back to the, so what is your position on the points that were supposed to be updated in the budget? Are you satisfied? Are there still outstanding questions in your mind?
At the end of the meeting, we did have a discussion with the general manager. Jerry did agree that those amounts would be updated, and they have been so updated. So we've got a new total revenue budget and a new total expense budget for FY23. So we're good with that. The provision has been met.
Okay. There is a motion on the floor from the Finance Committee to accept the submitted budget for FY23. I will entertain comments pertaining to that motion, and then we will have a roll call vote. Vanessa, you are first on the stack. Is this in regard to the finance report?
It is indeed.
Please proceed.
Okay. So, Kamau, you said that the general manager indicated that the move would cost $50,000. Did he provide any documentation to the committee to substantiate, the amount that he claims it will take to move?
Not at this point, no.
Okay. Will the committee be, I know he's promised to give this to the LSB earlier in the meeting, but does the Finance Committee require this information, the documentation, to support that $50,000 line item in the budget?
Well, to be honest, a lot of the line items in the budget are not supported by documentation. This is something that was drawn up some time ago based on a prior budget. Some assumptions were laid on top of a prior budget. So at this point, I can't honestly say I have any documentation to support any line item in the budget.
Okay, so let me ask you, and I'm just asking because I don't know. So for a special line item, for a large ticket item, a big ticket item like a move, in your experience, it's not your everyday line item. So is it reasonable for the GM to submit documentation?
Anytime you want to do something that's up and above or outside what we would call kind of standard or normal operations, you want to indicate what you're trying to do, not just through language, but through a, you know, detailed financial statement showing what costs may be incurred, and if so, what revenues may be gained from such venture. So in my experience, yes, you would have at least some sort of documentation indicating why the costs are what we're saying they are. So.
Okay. And then in terms of the money for quote unquote positions, did the general manager clarify what those positions are?
He simply said they were unfilled positions. At this point, I don't have any details with regards to, how these line items have come to be. So it's on the word of the GM. So if you need that, you got to go to him.
Okay. Last question. You said something about offsetting the payment to the engineer relative to central services. Could you explain that?
Sure. Loosely, in the last few months, we've been having a discussion in and around the engineer's work. Apparently the engineer does work outside of the WPFW station signal, and that work, whatever is done, supposed to be offset by the central office giving us a credit for the activity performed at other sites. This has never really been expressly, it's been stated, but it's never really been shown in a format in which folks can kind of follow and understand. So we're trying to get some sort of documentation from the general manager to indicate how this transaction takes place.
Jerry, can you hear me now?
Go ahead, Vanessa.
I have been muted on your end.
Thank, Well, I'm still I'm Jerry. Okay.
Vanessa has the floor.
If you can hear me.
I can hear you, Jerry. Vanessa has the floor and she's wrapping up, correct?
I am indeed. Yes, I am. Sorry. So to your knowledge, Kamal, what needs to be done to find out the amount of money that needs to be credited to PFW for the full amount that the engineer is being paid not to do work at PFW?
Well, as far as I know, the engineer is a consultant. Consultants typically submit an invoice. You would want to get the invoice from the consultant that would identify the activity and work performed. If that work was performed, let's say in Houston or in LA, whatever that amount on his particular invoice shows up, you would then submit that, I would think, to the central office for a reduction of the central services. Probably that simple.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Verna.
Okay, I'll just pick up where Vanessa left off. This offsetting of the money regarding the engineer. So is it accurate that we have no idea how much this is, that amount of money is? Is that accurate, Kamal?
Are you asking how much the money is that he's paid or the how much money he is doing outside of WPFW, or both? I don't know.
Well, basically that he's doing outside of WPFW. It seems that you're saying that Pacifica has promised to pay us for that, but to date has not. Is that accurate?
I don't know about the any payments that have or have not been made. They may have credited the central services. I do not know. Again, I don't have the documentation.
No documentation of that. So now the big drop from 58,000 to, 20,000, in the budget, you said it was primarily due to salaries, I believe. So
No, that's not the budget. Mm-hmm. That initial, discussion was around the bank balance in the Truist account that dropped. And what I've been told was that that was primarily due to funding the payroll that will be, the compensation goes out on the 15th of April. So it's coming up here in a few days.
Oh, so it hasn't gone. Now what payroll, who's included in that payroll? And does that include the consultants and the engineer?
I do not know.
That's not line itemed in the budget.
I do not know. I do not know who's included in the payroll.
Hmm. Okay. And so Esther mentioned some events that would help to raise off-air funds. Is that identified in the budget?
Nothing about off-air fundraising is identified in the budget, no.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry, there's something called major donor. That's about 40,000 in the budget, but I do not know if that's off-air. Jerry would have to answer that.
Okay, so we don't know what the major donor is. Okay, all right, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blanton.
Thanks. Kamal, Jerry, all those involved, this is probably the most informative financial report I received in my time on LSB. So whatever I say is not to be negative, but just to continue to, I guess, talk from the peanut gallery. But thank you very much for the information you shared. Number one is just naming the banks. Those of you who engaged with me over the last couple of years know that I've asked that in writing. This is the first time I've ever heard who has our money. You know, it'd be nice to know who has the authority to spend our money. That'd be next. Moving right along. When you talked about sources, you mentioned a figure of 175 being revenue. Did you really mean income and cash? What do you mean by revenue at that point?
So the initial budget I submitted indicated 175,000 was going to be raised, and the purpose of raising that money was to cover what it says here. I'll read it exactly. Moving and other fundraising. So that's where that was from.
I won't speak for everybody.
You're the target.
I'm confused as to how you use the term budget. Do we mean financial statements? Do we mean expense charts? What do we mean when we say budget?
You want to know my definition or do you want to know?
I just want to be able to hear you because I can't. You talked about budgets and then you go with the bank statement.
No. Well, the question came up about 58 to 20 and that's a bank statement. So at the finance committee, let me go big picture again. At the finance committee, we cover what's the current state, hopefully, of the financial position of the station. And then we go and walk through all the other information that we have. For example, we did receive a year-to-date February financial statement from the national office. We did review that as well. And then, of course, we also reviewed the budget as submitted by the general manager. A budget now is in my experience, is a target. It is something that is presented and laid out by management to keep management within constraints financially. It also identifies the goals and some activities that may be up and above normal operations that let's say, hey, we'd like to try and invest in a particular activity or invest in a particular equipment or piece of equipment. All these things kind of go into the budget. And that,
go ahead, come on.
In the simplest terms, it's a capital campaign. I'm sorry.
So then the budget, you know, once it's presented by the general manager, it's then tested. So the finance committee, it's our job and our duty. Unfortunately, at this point, we're about 6 months in, so it's very hard to do this when you're already in the actuals. But it's then presented, and then we test that those assumptions that are made against reality. Hey, we've typically only earned $1 million in revenue. Your budget says $2 million. Why is that? So on and so forth. So that's what we're trying to do in the committee, is trying to get an understanding of why we're doing what we're doing. Is it reasonable? Does it pass the smell test? And can it keep us honest about what our spending is and what our goals are in terms of revenue generation?
In the last LSB meeting.
Absolutely.
In talking about some items like moving things, people kept saying we had a fiduciary duty. Do we have a fiduciary duty to those items, particularly people, in this document that you are calling a budget?
Does the committee or does the LSB as a body?
Tell me where we do and where we don't.
I don't know of any fiduciary duty.
Because?
I'm just not aware.
How would we have a fiduciary duty in an upcoming lease agreement?
I'm sorry, say it again.
How would we have a fiduciary duty to whomever in this upcoming lease agreement? Where does it come from?
I'm not saying it does. Is that something you're saying I said, or is that?
The last meeting was used several times.
By me?
By members of the board. Members of the LSB. Well,
I can't answer for that.
Okay. Last question. I'll move on. Almost last question.
Okay.
What is Great Plains? What does that do with the operation of WPLW?
Great Plains is the financial management software used by the national office. It's something that, I believe if, requested, each of the signal stations can, log into and record their financial transactions, any of their cash and expenditures and revenue that comes in can be recorded in Great Plains. It allows, I believe, the central office to then consolidate very easily all of the stations into one larger Pacifica financial statement, you know, for audit and other purposes.
Last question, I swear. Do you have or can you give us in the future the relationship between amount pledged and amounts received?
You know, I'm actually working on that. Otis gave me access to some of the data and some of the reporting that he has. So when I do have time away from my other life, I will try and attempt to reconcile that information. That's very important because we do still have a gap there with regards to a pledge and cash received, and it's needs to be worked on. So I do agree with you on that.
Again, thank you for a great report. More power to you.
Thanks, Thomas. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Thomas. I see you, Vanessa. Here's what I'm going to do. First, I want to pause and see if there is any other delegate who would like to weigh in with a question or comment concerning the budget, because that motion is still on the floor. And I'll give you a minute to think about that. And the next thing I want to do, Julie, I want to come to you and just ask you to speak briefly, so everybody gets a sense of where we are about the implications for WPFW passing a budget or not passing a budget at this particular moment.
Oh, sure. So
from the national perspective, in relation to the other stations and all of that.
Yeah, you bet. I don't remember exactly. Let me tackle one thing first. Someone asked in the chat whether Pamal favored passing the budget. So I just want to, I want to make sure he gets the opportunity to answer that question for everybody's benefit. I don't remember exactly what, folks, sometimes I go to meetings every night of the week. So, perhaps I could be forgiven for forgetting some details like which of the units budgets we've passed. I'm pretty sure we've passed KPFT's budget. I'm pretty sure we've passed the budget for the, affiliates network. I believe we have a draft budget for the archives. I believe, we have a draft budget from WBAI, which is a little, there's been some back and forth on the National Finance Committee about passing it. Of course, the National Finance Committee has yet to see WPFW's budget. I don't remember what's up with KPFA's budget. They have more paid staff, and they're usually pretty good about stuff like that, but I'm not entirely sure why I don't remember seeing KPFA's budget. And then the national office budget is usually the last budget that we wind up passing, just because you can't pass the national office budget till you know what central services are, and you don't know what central services are until you've had conversations about all the other budgets. And so then, you know, back to my point earlier about, you know, it'd be great if we were able to pass all these budgets before the CPB application is due, because, you know, it would be awesome if we could say, hey, here's our budget for FY23. I mean, I think Jerry noted earlier, in some ways, you know, you put a budget on paper, it's a plan, you know, and what happens to plans? Plans change, right? But the point is, it's nonetheless a document that you can work off of, and it's having some budget, even if it's not, you know, doesn't match what you do in terms of your actuals from month to month. Having some budget at least gives you the benchmark to plan against. And then one other thing I wanted to say about timing. Oh, that really what has to happen is, the local finance committee passed the WPFW budget. It has some warts and it's subject to some provisos, right? But the next step is for the LSB to pass the budget, and then it goes to the NFC to get passed. And then, you know, the PNB passes the overall, the overall budget. And I think there'll be some pressure to try and get those other budgets done. Oh, I might have not said KPFK. KPFK is the station that's, you know, hottest mess of all the stations, or at least for right now. And, you know, we'll do something, because that's what we'll do. But, I will just say that last year we passed the KPFK budget on the last day of the fiscal year, which to me is just frankly embarrassing as a foundation to pass a budget on the last day of the fiscal year. I mean, it's like, why did we even waste our time? So, and so that's the sense in which, you know, it'd be great if we could pass the PFW budget tonight so that, you know, it's not what's holding up the foundation. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So, what we're going to do,
Dennis, I thought you were going to call on me really quickly.
I'm going to finish what I'm saying, Vanessa.
I'm so sorry.
What I'm going to do is, I'm not seeing anyone else who wants to speak. I'm going to come back to Vanessa and Vanessa and Verna respectively for 1 minute each. And I'm going to ask Kamau to restate the motion. And if he wishes to answer Julie's question on his own position on the motion, and we will have a roll call vote. Vanessa?
Okay, this won't take a minute. I put the question in the chat. The full question in context is, does the treasurer recommend passing the budget or, and I assume that he does given all that Julie said, but basically do we just have no choice now that it's 6 months late?
So is that the question?
Yeah.
Yes. At the risk of splitting hairs, I will say this. Professionally, I would not pass this budget. But considering the circumstances that we are under, both at the station level and at the national level, and the fact that without a document to hold our management, local management accountable to, we run the risk of kind of shooting at the hip and being not very good stewards with the monies that we're receiving from our stakeholders. So with that hair split, yes, I'm saying yes to this budget with the caveat that traditionally I would not, without a thorough deep dive into the transactions and how they're derived, what the assumptions are, where we're getting this revenue of $1 million+. Without that information, I find it hard to support a budget under normal conditions, we'll call it. So that's my answer.
Okay. And for the record, I should say that the Finance Committee did vote unanimously to forward this motion to the board, asking the board to pass the budget. Just for the record. Okay. Verna.
Very briefly. And Thomas Blanton may have gotten the answer to this. Do we know exactly how much we raised during the pledge drive? Notwithstanding the fact that we don't know how many pledges have actually been paid and how many have not. Do we know exactly how much we raised during this past pledge drive?
I do not. You'd have to ask. Jerry would know that more than I would.
Jerry, do you have that number?
It is not a solid number. It's a moving target. Funds are still coming in the last pledge drive. There is always a slow trickle of funds coming in. We
what
also
we have
so
far. What do we have so far? Where are we now?
I don't have that figure in my head right now. I'm sorry. I don't know.
I have it. Okay. I have it. We raised approximately $250,000. And I think that I said that in my report. About $250,000.
Yes, we passed 250 for sure.
Okay.
And what was our goal?
$300,000.
Okay.
Wait, Mr. Chairman.
Hold on. I've got people in line. Mr. Tatum.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to remind the chair that, if, and all members, by the way, if a budget is approved, it can always be amended in the future with a 2/3 vote.
Good to know. Thank you. Irene.
Good evening, everyone. I understand that if a budget, as a person who does grants, I know that budgets are forecasting. They're meant to be a little mercurial in nature because stuff happens. You may present a budget at any given time, but things happen. But this budget does not reek of anything that is happening in the future. I'm not seeing things in the budget that specifically speak to any of the, specifically any of the things that Ms. Esther mentioned in her upcoming event. any funds for them event, any funds for them events coming out of this budget? A couple of meetings back, there was a situation where they were at an event and something happened and $600 had to be paid. That's the kind of stuff that comes in a budget. And I'm kind of getting the feeling that, this isn't really a budget, but this is like a statement of a bank statement. I'm feeling like the other guy there. I'm okay with passing this as a budget this time, but no more. Understand, it will not get my support again. Something this half behind and late. Seriously. Because this is not, I also donate money to WPFW, and I'm not feeling, I like my money spent in a very positive way, and I like to see where it's going. And I'm going to tell you, whatever little funds I got, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about the way things are being done. And that I'm really concerned, but I will support passing this budget now, but never again will I pass a budget last minute like this that has not been submitted and well thought out and does not have forecasted events and line amounts, line by line accounts of how money will be spent and how you will raise money. That's not going to happen again. Let me tell you, it's not.
Thank you, Irene. Well said. Kamau, would you like to just restate the motion, and then I'm going to ask Ellen to call the roll.
Motion coming from the Finance Committee is that the WPFW Finance Committee approves the FY23 budget with the provision that the General Manager is to make updates to the revenue and expenses associated with the relocation of the station.
Okay.
We're asking that the LSB board approve that budget.
Okay. Ellen, please call the roll.
Irene.
I approve.
So you're yes?
Yes.
Yao?
I approve.
Thomas Blanton.
My hand wasn't recognized before you started calling the roll.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see it.
So what do we have here? Stand up for what?
Well, you want to say something while you cast your vote?
We had a program manager that said we raised $250,000. We had a report from the finance committee that said we had $58,000 in the bank. And we're going to approve a budget?
That depends. We'll see in a minute.
I mean, are people listening to what we're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Nobody's concerned with the $197,000. Where did they go?
I think people are concerned.
You're concerned. It is what it is.
Oh, yeah, we're concerned.
So, hey man, move on, move right along. That's the American way. I approve. We know we don't know, but we don't care. We don't know. I approve.
Okay. Sarah's not here. Wayne Bruce.
I'm gonna pass. Can you come back?
Okay. Curtis, Bill Curtis.
I am going to abstain.
Violetta.
I approve this time.
Vanessa.
Abstain.
Sue Goodwin. Did she come?
I believe she did.
Sue Goodwin?
She was in attendance. I don't know if she's still here. Oh, I see her. Sue, can you unmute?
Is she there?
Yeah, she's come. Let's come. Oh, there she is.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here.
Okay. Motion. What's your vote? Response to the
budget?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes from to Donna.
Yes.
Kamau.
Yes.
Julie.
Yes.
Arthur's not here. Minerva. Minerva.
Yes. Sorry.
That's okay. Adele.
Yes.
Patrick?
Yes.
Verna?
Abstain.
Ron Pinchback?
Abstain.
Eric?
We can't hear you, Eric.
Eric?
You're muted.
Pass.
Okay. Did Karen Briggs come? Has anyone seen her?
No.
Okay. Has anyone heard from her?
No, I think somebody did say they heard from her, but she would not be able to be here. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. It's to Minerva.
Yeah,
I heard.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. Eric,
I
said.
Passed.
You passed?
Yes.
All right. Okay. That's right. I had to take you off of that. Okay. Lucy? Lucy? Is she still there? Lucy?
Okay.
Do you see her?
I do not. Yeah, I see her. Hold on, I'll ask her to unmute. Lucy? All right, let's come back to her.
Okay. Wanda, is she there?
I believe she left.
She's not, okay. All right, I'll go back to the passes and I'll come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Only one pass.
There are two.
No, two. Wayne?
Abstain.
Abstain. And Eric?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, is it appropriate to ask what the count is so far?
No.
No.
I don't know. Is it?
Excuse me,
John. John, is that appropriate?
I don't think it is. But...
No, it's not because there should be no discussion at all during the vote. Right.
Yep, the answer is no.
Okay, I'll vote yes.
Okay. Okay, Dennis?
Ask Lucy again.
Pardon
Lucy?
Me?
Lucy?
Oh,
I'm Lucy? Seeing a
Lucy. Is she there?
I see her name. Okay, I think she
muted.
Yeah, she's just not answering, so she's not voting.
Leave her on?
Yep.
She's not voting? Okay, so I'll put her as absent.
From the vote, yeah. Did you ask Ron? Did you call Ron's name?
Ron Pinchback, yes, he abstained.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Oh, wait a minute. No, wait a minute. Let me see. Yes, he abstained.
Okay.
So that's everyone. What about you?
I abstain.
Okay. All right. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 approved. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 abstentions.
Alan, yeah. I'd like to make a point of clearance that it's approved with that stipulation that Kamau had.
Well, oh,
we can't do that.
We approved it with that stipulation.
We can't do that after the fact.
Yeah, but it wasn't after the fact. That was part of the motion.
Well, if it's part of the motion, then yes, then that'll be in the record.
It was part of the motion.
Okay.
Did he say it was part of the motion, or did he give his opinion?
No.
It's in the motion.
Part of the motion.
Okay.
Yeah, it's part of the motion.
Could I ask you, Kamau, to send me a copy of the motion, too?
Absolutely.
Email it to me later. Thank you. You always. Thank you for the other one last meeting, too. Thank you. Okay, so 12 approved, 6 abstentions.
All right. The motion is passed. The budget is passed. Jerry, I do hope that you are paying close attention to all of the comments, because there's a lot of nose holding as these votes were cast. Let's all take that to heart and make sure we get a better job next time around, which will not be a year from now. I need to be sooner.
Fully present. Fully present. Okay. And appreciative.
Okay. All right. Kamau, we're still on you. Next topic. Relocation committee.
All right. Let's see. I do believe, I sent, there were 3 documents related to our relocation committee. The relocation committee, as everybody knows, was formed late last year. The initial members were myself, Sarah Brown, and Jerry Paris. At that time, and this is not in the report, I'm kind of giving some background so we can kind of understand the situation that we were under. So at the time, there were 4 options to relocate the station, of which one was a current place, 1990 K Street, where we are today. Seemingly out of nowhere, that morphed into a option of 1640 Columbia Road Northwest as the sole option for relocation. And so this committee was reformed, trying to understand better some of the decision making in and around the 1640 Columbia Road. So this committee's met twice. The committee is myself, Sarah Brown, Ron Pinchback, Vanessa Dixon Briggs, Wayne Bruce, Verna Avery Brown, Adele Stan, Thomas Blanton, Tom Cole, Craig Williams, and Dennis Williams. We met on Wednesday, March 29th. 7 p.m. via Zoom, and on Tuesday, April 11th, 6:30 p.m. via Zoom. I'll read our report, and then I'll read our I think, very important letter. This committee was very quickly reconstituted when it became apparent that the station management was moving forward with the relocating of the station without regard for the purpose set in place to evaluate potential properties. The members above represented a small cross-section of the larger body of stakeholders concerned about the dearth of information around the details of the proposed property, the rationale for the choice, the lack of adequate written financial details related to the move, and a general atmosphere of contempt for the relocation committee and the LSB emanating from station management. Achievements. We had a thorough review of the proposed lease agreement with the Festival Center at 1640 Columbia Road. A letter of concern was sent to the Pacifica National Board. A end essential needed and desired analysis was prepared to determine necessary square footage to accommodate operations. A cursory search for comparable properties within Washington DC was completed, and informal conversations with multiple commercial brokers familiar with the market to discern the likelihood of available properties to meet operational needs was done. Important points of further consideration. The proposed space is approximately 1,200 square feet. This is an almost 80% reduction compared to the current lease space at $1,990K. This reduction in space implies a significant reimagination of the operations of the organization, which as of yet, station management has failed to provide the details of such and has avoided the discussion with its stakeholders. As was articulated by our executive director, Pacifica stations should be hubs for the community. As identified in the WPFW mission, the purpose is to provide outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community. This proposed space provides neither. Let me read the letter and then I will come back to our motion. So the committee did draft a letter that was sent over to Pacifica National Board on April 6th. Dear members of the Pacifica National Board and Executive Director, we, the members of the WPFW Relocation Committee, are writing to express our serious concern about the proposed move of WPFW studios and offices from 1990 K Street to 1640 Columbia Road. We urge the Executive Director and the PNB not to take any definitive action on this proposed move at this time because, number one, the process has been conducted almost entirely out of the purview of the local station board and the LSB's relocation committee. Other stakeholders were also excluded, music programmers, public affairs and news programmers, staff, and the listening community at large. The dedicated volunteers whose hard work brings in the money to keep WPFW on the air deserve a voice in the choosing where they will do their work. Number two, the proposed space at 1640 Columbia Road is inadequate because 1,200 square feet will not support station operations as currently organized, which are, we'd like to point out, financially successful and certainly prohibit any plans for growth. Talk studio and on-air control room are too small to accommodate multiple guests. There is no apparent production space. There's no dedicated station space to support community activities or staff/programmer meetings. There's no space for live music broadcasts, for example, the very popular Live at 5 series. The station is only allotted 2 parking spaces for which we must pay, and street parking in the Adams Morgan neighborhood is virtually non-existent. Number 3, no cost-benefit analysis was prepared for the move. WPFW General Manager Jerry Paris did not submit a draft FY23 budget for the station until 3 days ago. It was due September 30 of last year. After plans for the move were well underway, and he has not spelled out how to pay the as yet undetermined cost to move. Number 4, the rush to move has been predicated on the offer at 1640 Columbia Road being a very favorable and hard to find good deal. This is not the case. The rental cost is in fact comparable to other properties throughout the area, as a simple Google search reveals. The reason the cost is so much less is because Columbia Road is roughly 1/4 the size of K Street. In fact, the cost per square foot is comparable to WPFW's current space at 1990 K Street. The savings is approximately 60 cents per square foot. We are deeply concerned that this ill-considered move could lock WPFW into a space that would permanently change the nature of our operations, constrain growth and innovation, eliminate the critical participation of community members, and ultimately diminish WPFW as a positive and powerful independent media source and a jewel of the Pacifica network. Therefore, we ask that you withhold approval and move, withhold approval of a move until an orderly and fiscally responsible search process can take place. That's our letter to the PNB, and our motion is such. The Relocation Committee recommends that the WPFW LSB adopt the following. Whereas the Relocation Committee of the WPFW Local Station Board has no confidence that the general manager of the station has appropriately negotiated a deal to relocate the station. Whereas the Relocation Committee of the WPFW LSB met via Zoom to discuss the situation of the move. Whereas the Relocation Committee voted to send a letter of concern to the Pacifica National Board requesting the executive director to delay signing of the proposed lease at 1648 Columbia Road. Therefore, the Relocation Committee asks the WPFW Local Station Board, the Pacifica National Board, and the Pacifica Executive Director to place on hold any action to relocate the operations of the station for a minimum of 60 days, 60 calendar days, to allow further investigation of the proposed 1640 Columbia Road space and other options for relocation. That's our report from the Relocation Committee.
Thank you. That also is a, in the form of a motion from a committee that does not need second. So we do have a motion on the floor, and I will open up discussion for that, beginning with, Eric and